In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 3. Prepare the way of the Lord, make His paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ's historical birth and ministry in His first coming 2,000 years ago was ordained by God unto man's salvation, even before God created and established the foundations of the world. God had foreseen our first parents' fall into sin. God had planned to do what no creature could do for fallen man, and to send His Son into the flesh, in the flesh of the Virgin Mary, so that the Savior would come and rescue our whole race by dying on the cross for our sins, by restoring us in holiness and God's favor in Jesus Christ. And since it was ordained from the very beginning, before history ever started, before the foundations of the world, Christ's first coming was inevitable and unstoppable. No angel, no devil, no plan of man or any other creature could stop it from coming, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Nothing could stop it. Nothing could stand in His way. That's also true about His second coming. God has preordained a certain limit to the history of the world, and at the end of the history of this world, Scripture tells us, God has planned a specific time, we don't know when it is, when the Lord will destroy the heavens and the earth by the powers of fire, as St. Peter says, and God will raise the dead, and your souls and my souls and the souls of every human being descended of Adam and Eve will be judged. And in that resurrection and judgment, those who have loved the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ and are redeemed through faith in His grace will go in that judgment to everlasting bliss and happiness with God. And those who have not loved and appreciated God's greatest gift in sending His Son, our Savior, those who have resisted Him and made themselves His enemies, failing to heed the message of salvation, shall depart in that judgment into everlasting sadness, apart from God and His favor forever. That coming is equally inevitable. No human plan, no plan of devil or angel, or even God Himself, since God cannot go back on His plan, nothing can stop that coming. And yet there is a coming of Jesus Christ that can be stopped. There is a coming and advent of Jesus in which we can say no, and we can resist that coming, and therefore He will not come. And that is the coming of Christ into our hearts. It is His desire and plan to take down every mountain of human pride, of sin that stands against Him. It is God's plan to take the reverse of that, a pride of man that says that God's grace and gift of forgiveness is not for someone as bad as me, for someone else. I must improve myself before I will accept the salvation of God. That low place of depression and despair must be leveled. The crooked wandering ways of the human heart that takes our straying hearts away from God must be removed by the message of God and His salvation, but it is resistible. We can say, that's my mountain of pride. That's my valley of despair. That's my crooked way. Jesus, you cannot take it. And then the mountain and the valley and the crooked way will deprive us of Christ coming into our hearts. It is my prayer in this text that we heed the warning for each and every one of us, that God would grant by the power of His Holy Spirit what God desires in the heart that prepares us for His coming, and that is a fruit of repentance, an acknowledgement that that mountain of pride is mine, an acknowledgement that the straying heart is mine, an acknowledgement of the low ebb of human despair that would keep Jesus out is mine, and then turning in hope to the salvation that we have because Christ came the first time. The salvation that we have in the work and the person, in the word and the doctrine, and the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. May God grant us hearts that do not reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but that by the power of God's word and Holy Spirit makes a straight road for Him to enter our hearts, to cleanse us from sin, to restore us unto God our Father. Being prepared for eternity invading and coming into our time and space means that each and every one of us must be jarred into acknowledging how unprepared we are for the coming of Jesus Christ. This is necessary because we spiritually before God are either drowsing and falling asleep before God, or to say it more powerfully and scripturally, we are spiritually dead. Sinners are so used to their sinful state. They become so accustomed to being sinners and seeing the sins and offenses against God in this world that we live in, that we see ourselves in a normal state. We say, yeah, I'm not perfect, but no one is. Yes, I am not quite so good as I should be, but then that's the way everybody is, so I'm perfectly fine and normal. We call that false security which sinners feel in their sins carnal security, because it is part of the curse of God for our sins that we are in spiritual peril and fail to recognize it, even though God tells us it to us from the very beginning. And that is why John has a universal message to the sinners around him. You are brood of vipers. Your hearts are infected by the lies of Satan that tell you that you are safe. The axe is at the root of your tree. It is now that you are in peril because of your sin. You don't see it, you don't feel it, but I'm telling you, God is here with an axe to cut you down. And if you do not bear fruit that is pleasing to Him, cut down and thrown into the fire, you shall be. The human heart is so numb that it says, ah, not me. It rejects the message of the curse. Why? Because we are spiritually dead, and dead things feel nothing. Spiritually, we are numb before God. And if the Holy Spirit in that word of the law does not convict us to feel and fear our sins, then we will not feel it in this life. If we reject that work of the Holy Spirit, we will be rejectable to God. We will live our lives in carnal security, not fearing when we should, and the day of judgment will come anyway. And then the fear that we should have felt through His word will be experienced in the face of the judge. If we are not saved and converted before that time, then we will fear in eternity, because the day of grace will then be ended, and the night of despair will be ours forever. But God is gracious to us. As the baptizer preached to the people in Jesus' first coming, he is appraising them and us of the absolute truth before God. And it is the preaching of the law that awakens us to our danger before God, and we dare not not heed that word of the law. John likens us to trees that do not please God. Why? Because our lives do not bear the fruit that our Creator demands and expects of us. As He has loved us, He requires us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds, and we fall short and do not bear that fruit. He expects of us not to be selfish, but to be gracious and loving and merciful as our Father in heaven is gracious and loving and merciful. And therefore, if we have two suits hanging in our closet, we are not to seek a third, but we are to take that extra suit and give it to one who has none, if we would be children of the gracious Father. But we do not. And so the axe is at the root of our tree. And we cannot change that. A tree cannot cure itself. And so this word of warning must first be taken to heart if we are to receive Jesus into our hearts. And when the despair, sadness, and appropriate sorrow and fear of God comes because of the declaration of the law, the preaching of God does not stop there. As St. Paul points to the man Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, we are also pointed to that Savior in our despair. And he says to us, you do not bear your sin and offense before God alone. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, because he is the Son of God, begotten of God in the eternity and in our flesh. Behold, the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. There and there alone in Christ is the hope of every sinner. And as St. John says, all the world, all flesh, all sinners shall see this salvation. The gospel and baptism have gone into all the world, in every continent, among every people group for 2,000 years. The universal salvation of Jesus Christ has come into the world. And the hearts that have resisted and said no to his coming shall have for themselves what they love, the pride of their own spiritual goodness and righteousness that excludes the righteousness of God. The crooked paths of their wandering hearts is theirs, because seeing the salvation of the Lord, they have rejected him. The negative pride of seeing, it's up to me, I have to improve myself before I will accept the salvation, which is a free gift of God. All these can be yours if you want to keep them. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, when the preaching of the word shows us the cross of Jesus Christ, all of it is removed. The Holy Spirit, in our despair, by the power of the law, removes the mountaintop of our pride. The cross of Jesus Christ and the wonder and magnitude of the eternal and infinite gift of God's love that we have in Jesus Christ drowns our false pride and our lie to ourselves that we can or should improve ourselves, and immerses us in that better thing, which is the love of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all iniquities. And the wandering tendency of our sinful and straying heart in the proclamation of the gospel and in the sacraments are given a straight road, no detours, a direct receiving of Jesus Christ in his body and blood and in his grace and forgiveness whenever the gospel is preached. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has detonated the sin in our hearts and Christ is received by us by the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We immediately are saved by Christ, who forgives us and takes up his dwelling in the believer's heart. The fruits of the tree that the Lord requires in this text is a tree of repentance, which means it is not only a life of faith that turns from sin to the Savior to be justified, to be declared holy for the sake of Jesus' work, but it is also a life of sanctification in which the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and Jesus dwells within the heart. And that is the answer to the desperation that the people in their sorrow say to John the Baptizer, "What shall we do?" Which means that with salvation comes not only forgiveness from the punishment of our sin, a recognition that sin is bad, but also the desire, which is also God's desire and purpose, to remove sin from our lives. That we would not only acknowledge our sin, but turn in hope to the Savior for an improvement, for a sanctification, for a new holiness and a new life that God gives to us when Christ dwells in our hearts. Can Christ dwell in the heart of a believer and not manifest his presence in the changed life? Of course not. St. Paul not only turned from his core sins of persecuting the church and killing Christians, but he turned in his heart from those core sins to an acknowledgement of the sins of his heart. Not only did he stop killing the Christians, but he confessed the sins of his heart in Romans 7 to say that the good that I would, I do not do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I continue to do. And this is the tie to what the people are saying to John the Baptizer and his answer to them. He says, if you have two cloaks, give one to someone who has none. He says to the tax collector, no longer extort money, which you can legally do. No one can stop you from overcharging your clients, but stop doing that. And he says to the soldier, stop forcing people to give you their goods because you have power and are a soldier. Now, all of these sins are called coveting, the 9th and 10th commandments. It is legal stealing. It is doing what we are able to do under the law of man. But as St. Paul says in Romans 7, I would not know that coveting is a sin except the law of God says, thou shalt not covet. And that's what he's saying to the people. The Holy Spirit dwelling in your hearts will change your hearts. No longer will you be selfish people, motivated by selfish desires, but the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. Now remember, coming back to this text, that he says the fruits are not fruits of a completely holy life. It says the fruits are the fruits of repentance, which means that we, as St. Paul, will continuously struggle with the sin and the venom of the devil that is in our fleshly hearts that we were born with, that we will continue to walk as new people but struggling with sin in need of the grace of God, and therefore it is a life of repentance. Constantly turning and asking the Lord for improvement in our lives and turning to Jesus to find that repentance. Listening to the voice of Jesus that says, confess your sins one to another. That says, if we deny that we have sins, we deny Christ and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. That says, do not abandon the assembly of ourselves together, For he who is not with me gathering is scattering. The words of Jesus that says, if you are still a sinner that is in need of strength to serve me, that is struggling against the sins within your heart, eat and take drink the body and blood of Christ. You see, the life of repentance is exhibited in our publicly turning to Christ and receiving Him and His holiness until we no longer need grace, until we no longer have the stain of sin within us, until we no longer require the voice of a Savior that is saving us from sin. And the message of being prepared is this. It's not because you graduated from a Christian day school. It is not because you are confirmed, but because you live a life of repentance under the power of the Holy Spirit, receiving Christ and His cure on the path of the church, on the path of Christ's promised salvation. Are you still in a state of repentance? Do you still feel the axe of God's law at your root, which drives you to find refuge in the Word and the sacrament of Jesus Christ? If so, praise God. But take heed if you stand, if you think you are standing, lest you fall. And if that is the concern of each, that each be prepared, do we love our brothers? Do we see others who are now standing up in pride and said, yeah, I graduated from Emmanuel Lutheran School. Yeah, I was confirmed, but I don't need Christ's body and blood anymore. I don't need to listen to His voice in order to come to heaven. I don't need to obey Christ to come and regularly receive His body and blood for my forgiveness. Can't you see the mountain of pride? Can't you see souls that are erecting barriers to Christ and saying no to Him? Not heeding the voice of the Savior. Don't you care? Don't you care about them? If you don't care about them, maybe you don't care about yourself. Repent. That is the message of the season. Repent. Know your sin. Be frightened because of your sin. It can take you to hell. And flee for refuge, not just today, but tomorrow, and next week, next month, next year, until the Lord comes. Because someday He will, and you can't stop it. Ready or not, here He comes. Amen.